it's pretty I always hate to say something like this, but like this pandemic, at least for me and my family, has been amazing. I mean, I haven't had any, obviously I still have a job, thankfully, knock on wood, everyone's been healthy in my family, and I've been able to save a ton of money because I don't have to drive so much, and I'm spending so much more time with my kids, and it's been a blessing in disguise for me. And again, I hate to say it because I know so many people are going through so much, hardship, but at least for me, I've been lucky.
I think that it's a lot in how you perceive things, but I think that there's a lot of people in your situation. I mean, we would not, I've not, I would not have been able to spend the time with my granddaughter that I would have, or my daughter, or my son-in-law. They've been with us, they were with us a lot in for months in the latter part of the summer, the first part of the summer, latter part of spring, and then now they've been here for 3 weeks in Florida. It's great. I've taught my granddaughter how to play golf.
Nice.
She's become a good swimmer. I get a chance to teach her all these things that in her their family in Nashville, their both parents work. She'd be happy, but she wouldn't have, gotten some of this stuff.
Of course.
So, and I wouldn't have gotten the pleasure of being that grandfather for her, So
Yeah, it's
it's,
been a
I think there was an article on grandparents, how much they're enjoying this because they get the chance to be with their kids. I mean, there's so many people here that have had their kids here for a long time, long stretches.
right.
And the younger kids may, the younger adults may not like it as much because they want to go and find a mate
Right.
and get their businesses going and stuff like that. But
Of
from
course.
a point of view of the parents, it's you just sort of have a reprieve where you get a chance to be with them. And I'm finding business is really, I mean, people are discovering new ways of doing business that are just so interesting.
Yeah, I always, when this first started, the whole thing was obviously we had to hunker down, but I always, I and maybe this is my naivete, but I have, I trust the ingenuity and the entrepreneurship of not just the American people, people in general. Like, we will figure out how to navigate this. We will get through it. We will be fine. And unfortunately, and I guess fortunately, the strong survive. You see companies like Walmart and Target, like they figure out how to make it work, even in, I mean, if I told you this was going to happen last year, that you would think, and I would think too, this is the worst possible scenario for retail or anything. And they've been able to be fine, and figure out a way to get it done.
It's amazing. And this Operation Warp Speed, as much as Trump will never get any credit for anything, the Operation Warp Speed has been, I just heard David Rubenstein, who I really admire. He's got great interviews. He's very bright, obviously billionaire, enormously successful, but intuitive guy, smart. And so he talked about the Operation Warp Speed and the amount of money that's been put into it. And he likened it to the, our attempt, our successful, sending a man to the moon and back safely. And the operation, when we discovered the atomic bomb, the effort we put into that. So, and he said the amount of money and the breakthroughs that have happened will go on for decades. We've just taken our wonderful finance, our wonderful industry of pharmaceuticals and drug development and given them, an injection in the heart,
Yeah.
of you know, a tremendous energy, and they're gonna explode.
Yeah, it has been amazing to see. Yeah, that's another part of it. When, you know, when this first started, we heard about how long it would take these companies to make these vaccines, and look, you know, 8 months later, you know, they're about to get, you know, the emergency right. use. You know, it has been truly amazing, and
we were told it would be only 50% efficacy.
Right, and it's 95.
95. Pfizer yeah. just came out and said, "Slow down, Moderna. We're 95 too."
Right.
You yeah. know, so. And with virtually no side effects. I mean, a little sore arm for a couple of days. So I'll it's like, sign me up, you know. I'm going to be the first. You know? Don't you think? I mean, what's the downside? These guys are really, and you know, they're not, nobody's dying from it. Nobody's, so it's, I think it's green light. Now, the question is, you know, how much of it is baked into the market? And from an investment point of view, you gotta, you know, you can't go crazy, but.
Yeah, you gotta be cautiously optimistic.
You gotta be cautiously optimistic and continue to, I mean, finally, I saw that Warren Buffett put some money into pharmaceuticals, or at least his team did, big investment yes. in a broad array of pharmaceuticals, which I think is, this, you know, kind of interesting from a longer term point of view. He's not looking for the next pop in the market or year. He's looking for, you know, real long term. And we've liked that group forever and ever and ever. But I knew with the mapping of the human genome and now this, that we're off to the races in terms of solving the problems for your generation. Our generation has been tremendously helped.
Yep.
You know, the success rate, people just don't know this, success rate for prostate cancer. You've got like a 98.5% chance of living with prostate cancer today versus, you know, it was killing people yep. even 10 years ago. And yeah. and so, right. and breast cancer, I just, there's new breakthroughs. I was just reading about new breakthroughs for large cell breast cancer, which is, you know, kills people like crazy. It's the number one, interestingly enough, I didn't know that. It is the number one killer of all cancers because it's so common.
And, right, yeah, so many people get.
And to make breakthroughs in that is so exciting. Anyway. Al, we're into a really interesting conversation.
The future of humanity. Bright.
Yeah, it's just a, you know, an optimistic view, but, you know, being smart, but an optimistic view of the future. I think it's exciting to hear. George has got a good view. We were talking about how lucky we were and how, frankly, almost embarrassed we are to admit that this has been great. You know, everybody saved money, everybody's healthy, everybody's spending more time with family. You know, all the benefits have been amazing for, I hope for you too, but have been for me. You know, getting a chance to spend time with my granddaughter, my daughter, my son-in-law, and just miracle time, you know, just pinch myself and enjoy every minute of it. So we'll go back to normal, but interesting. My buddy that I ride with in the morning said that he's a, you know, he invested money in a private equity investment, and the company is typically spends $200,000 a year on travel, and it's a small company. And the CEO said to him, I want to get back traveling again. And he said, no, why? You know, we're doing great. People love the Zoom meetings. These people are, he does hair salons and products and services for hair salons. And he said, these people are all over the place. You can have one Zoom meeting, introduce a new product, and you're done. And they love it. And they don't have to give up half a day entertaining you. And and you don't have to spend, you know, 3 days going to one hair salon place, you know, or spending the whole week on the road. It's just amazing. You know, you talk to wholesalers and they're like, we kind of don't have a job anymore. You know, everybody's still buying our funds as much as they ever were. And we're, you know, we're not traveling. It's kind of good. They're still making $500,000 and not traveling. I mean, now that's because if they can keep the job, the firms don't say goodbye. That's like the best job in the world. Have a bunch of Zoom calls and sit back and collect money while people buy your funds.
Have you noticed a trend of financial advisors now looking or moving to independence?
It's just, it's like rampant. It's, you know, I would not invest in a typical financial services firm now. You know, I have no investments in any of the firms. I think it's, you know, you can see these trends, and it was like the disintermediation from the banks to us when we offered money market funds, you know, at 10 and 11 and 12% and ended up 22% interest rates on money market funds versus 5% in the bank. I mean, I literally had people lining up outside at 9 o'clock in the morning. We'd open the doors. There'd be a line of 20 people ready to open accounts. That's how, you've never seen that, but that's what, that was happening in the early 80s. And when you see these macro trends, they last a long time and they change the world. So the banks got slaughtered by us and we became the bank. And now, you know, the independent, the average financial advisor says, look, you know, I can do this, you know, and I don't want all the compliance issues and all the other stuff that I have to deal with. I think I'm going to just go independent. And everybody's like, come on, we got great products and services for you, and we're going to leave you alone. They're like, why not? So, you know, I need the big, you know, the Morgan Stanleys and the Merrill Lynches and the Wells Fargos of the world, you know, I better be making, building relationships with the independents or I'm going to be out of business.
Well, what happens when you become good at Supernova, you know, it's you. I mean, that's the reality. You know, it's no longer the firm. It's you and your group that become important to the client, not the company.
You know? Well, it's always been that way, but, you know, there was that sense of security that you wrote a check to Morgan Stanley or you wrote a check to Merrill Lynch.
No, no doubt about it.
And you didn't worry. You knew you could always get your money back if somebody tried to run off with it. But I think, you know, when people start investing through the internet, you know, and they start to write checks basically to Amazon, you know, and they stop worrying about the risk of the internet. They kind of go, I don't know why I'm doing this. Why aren't I being smarter? You know,
I think a lot of financial advisors are finding, hey, you know what? I can operate a business from my home, you know, so I can operate a business from my home, you know, and I think that's happening. I mean, I think the Morgan Stanley, I mean, I can tell you that Morgan Stanley for me has been 100%. I mean, they have really backed me. They introduced me to you. I mean, they've been 100% for me. They really have. They've met all their commitments, and that makes me extremely happy. They're going to have challenges on the international side, you know, with what they're doing internationally. I'm more of a, like a hybrid, more domestic. We're like 70-30. 70 domestic, 30 international, you know, so I'm not as affected. But regardless, there's a lot of international guys that are now working from their house and they're like, So I'm just wondering if that's a general trend, okay, in the business. And I think now with COVID, it probably is, because a lot of guys are saying, hey, I can just do this from anywhere, you know.
Well, The interesting thing is that it used to be, you know, I have to go to South America, you know, four times a year to see my clients.
Yep.
And, you know, I've got a client in Brazil, and it was like, you know, I have to go there once a year just to see him and make sure we keep the relationship. I'm not going to do that. And we're doing Zoom calls, and I'm getting paid for Zoom calls, Zoom presentations. And so you guys, you know, you don't need to go to Nicaragua and, you know, all these places to see clients. You can Zoom them, and it's great. Why not? You'd be crazy not to take advantage of it. So I think, I mean, I can put a mastermind group together in a couple of days and get everybody, and I can have people from all over the country and the world if I wanted to. But I'm interested in charity work around the country, so that's what I do. But I can put together the leaders of different businesses all in a mastermind group to solve a problem. And I can do it without having to fly to Kansas City and have a meeting with everybody flying in and costing everybody a lot of money. So it's just so efficient. And that's not going to go away. I will never, you know, waste time traveling again. If I need to go, I'll go. But it's going to have to, somebody's going to have to convince me. I mean, think of the board meetings. All these companies have board meetings now, and they do it through Zoom, and I bet they're more efficient. I bet they're as effective as ever and efficient. Now, you don't have the personal fun and relationships and all that stuff. But from pure business, why would you have a board meeting and spend the money to bring everybody together when you can do it this way? It's just so easy.
You know, I had a couple of questions for you on actually it's a couple of Zoom calls that we have coming up. One is we manage the account for the Coral Gables. And we
the
have
the Coral Gables what?
The Coral Gables Chamber of Commerce. The
okay.
Chamber.
Yep.
Which is more notoriety than money.
It's not yeah.
But notoriety, phenomenal. Because just to give you an idea where we're at through the chamber, and you know, I've told Anna and George and Juan that in 21 we're gonna own the chamber in Coral Gables, because smart. In the chamber you got members, and then you have trustees, that's another upper member, and then you got the board. So with my outside business activity with my company, we went from member to trustee to sitting on the board. And then my manager, he sits on the board. So he represents the company and me on the board. He's also the right-hand man now of the chamber president, representing what's called the Business Improvement District of Coral Gables. They call it the bid board. So he sits on the bid board representing the chamber. And then now I've branded the Molini Group of Morgan Stanley. So I've moved from member now to trustee. And we're the managers of the chamber. And now going into next year, I'm probably going to take it to the next level, which is called gem membership. Now, there's only five gems in all the chamber. So you got 1,000 members, there's five gems. And a gem is just like the premier membership. You just pay a little bit more money, but they're recognized at every meeting. I mean, if you have like a coffee meeting for four people, hey, there's a gem member here. Can we please like stand up and like applaud him so for any lunch or anything else? So I want to be a gem member and the money manager of Coral Gables Chamber and everything else on the other side. So, you know, the goal in 21 is really to own the Coral Gables Chamber. I mean, when they think of managing money, they think of the Molini Group, Morgan Stanley. Okay, no doubt. Okay. Now, there is a lot of prospects in the $100,000 to $500,000 tier, which is not what we're looking for. And then you have other prospects. But what you do is you can now make connections even outside the chamber through the president and the CEO and these other people, which I've become pretty tight with. So that's just an overlook of the chamber. So we got a lot of stuff going on there. Now, we are now going to do our first formal update on the 24th to the chamber board. And it's the first time that they hear from us, because we won the account from four of those guys that are the financial board. But now it's the whole board, which is, I think it's 15 people now. And now we're presenting to the entire board. So what ideas would you have on that, Rob, and presenting to the board for the first time?
You've got an investment committee, right?
Yeah, the investment committee is four of those guys. They're the ones that we went through a process, because I say it's more notoriety than money, because we started with 25 entities bidding to manage their money and narrowed down to 10 after an interview. Now, the 10 now had to write a thesis. Here's what we do. Most of the 10 were bank types, where you have your bank trust division and then you have the rep, right? And that was our typical competition. A lot of the banks around Miami, like medium, mid-sized, small, mid-sized banks.
Yeah.
From the 10, we got it down to 5. The 5 actually met in front of the committee and gave a presentation. We were one of the 5. And when George and I walked out of that, I told George, man, I'm getting rusty. I haven't done this in a while. If I had to do this again, okay, it would be a phenomenal presentation the next time. And we got that shot because they narrowed it down to 3. And then, you know, the way that we did it was, I'd explain to George, who's great at this, you put together all the stats and the charts and that, and you're like the straight guy, and I'll be the carnival barker. And I'll ask to interrupt you, and you'll say, you know, of course I'll come in with a story, I'll flower it up, you know, this and that. And we won the account. I mean, we got the account. So then we became a little notorious among the money managers in the Gables area. Like, hey, the Molini Group of Morgan Stanley is managing the chamber account.
And how big is it?
It's under $1 million.
Yeah. So it's a ticket.
Yeah. It's again, more notoriety than it is dollars. Yeah. And I gave them a break. We're charging them 0.9% on top of that. So it's not huge for us. It's huge as far as connections, because now I sit down with business owners and then they say, hey, I heard you're managing the chamber account. Is that true? So, you know, I'm not even spreading the word. The word's being spread.
It's like me writing a book. It just gives you a ticket. It gives you credibility.
Right. It has done that. And then, you know, along with everything else, the level of the membership, that the well-groomed gentleman is a notorious entity in the chamber, mainly because the guy that I have managing that is a phenomenal networker. I mean, this guy's like a life of the party type, you know, and everybody knows him, and he's, you know, he's a real personality. And so that's become big. And then I'm associated with that because I'm the owner. So, you know, I think with the chamber, we're going to make big waves in 21, but specifically for this update, our plan was just to do an update, give a small, you know, here's how we manage money. Okay. Flower it up a little bit, some questions and answers, and pretty much that's it.
Yeah. I would give an official economic outlook. All right. So Mike Wilson, right? Give the Mike Wilson presentation. He's been right. He's made people a lot of money and he's your guy. I think he's still constructive. I think he's a little more cautious right now. So I would give them an overall economic presentation of what it looks like, because the businessmen are all interested in this. They need to know. What's the economy going to do? What are interest rates going to do? What are, you know, and that's what I would tell them. I'd say, look, you guys are, this is capitalism right here, guys. You need to know what interest rates are going to do, what the stock market's going to do for your own personal 401ks and investments. But more importantly, is this a time to expand or contract, or what do you think? And this is what we think of the economy. this is what we think of the stock market. And they're not always, rarely are they consistent. You know, the stock market will have had a great year this year. And probably, if you remember, you don't remember 1974, but what was weird about 1974 was we were in the middle of a horrible recession and the stock market was doing great. And it was just exactly like this. And everybody was like throwing up about the economy, and stocks were going up and people were just still miserable out there. But the market, we couldn't even tell people. We're like, yeah, things are really rough. No, things were just going through the roof. So I think because the market looks ahead a year, 6 months, you probably are capturing much of the market this year. And next year, stock market won't be as great, but you'll have a great year when it comes to the economy. And so that would be kind of my, just remind them of how stocks lead the market. So coming out of a recession, we do great, and then the economy catches up. So okay. you're gonna have a great economy. Then I would tell them how you guys have done. You know, this is how we've done versus the S&P 500. This has been our asset allocation strategy. This is what we're planning on doing in anticipation of this, right? Whatever it is, in anticipation that the market, we're doing this. So we're being a little more conservative, but we are getting good rates of return. So they okay. feel like you're smart and you're safe and you're anticipating, and you don't have to be perfect. You just have to sound smart.
Okay.
I'd take some questions, you know.
Okay.
Take some questions from the group, because that's always, and give your friend a question to ask you.
Okay.
Shill it. You maybe give him a couple questions or whatever. You know, if you have two friends on there, give two guys questions to ask you. And that gives you a chance to sound even smarter and more spontaneous and, you know, interested in what they're interested in.
Very good. Very good. Okay. By the time we have our next supernova, we'll have also done what's called the Reconnect Lunch. And here is the Reconnect Lunch. I'm one of six sponsors. We're one of six sponsors for the lunch. It's usually a lunch. It doesn't crank up, we think, until January. You know, everything tentative with what's happening with COVID. Right now, the Reconnect Lunch is done by video. Now, that's a broader, because that you'll have about, I don't know, 100 members there, maybe a little bit more, that are all going to be on Zoom. And now what happens is each of the Reconnect Lunch sponsors, they rotate. So there's one sponsor that gives a speech every month. It's our turn in December. It's the first Wednesday in December. This is our chance to give a presentation to the entire, right?
Yep.
So again, it's going to be typically about 100 people. Last time it was 125 that hopped on. So would it be the same for the Reconnect Lunch, in your opinion?
Yeah, just brief, because you're only going to get 10 minutes or something.
They give us 15. They give you an idea. 15 minutes.
So that's what I was thinking. These guys, you're going to get better representation there than you would at a board meeting, at a chamber meeting. You'll get 30 at a chamber meeting. You'll get 125 at this thing. So you want to kind of give them – and I give them an economic overview of your local community, too. Okay? Yeah, okay. You don't have to talk about real estate because, you know, or you have a friend that can brief you on real estate and give you. But you are involved with the Economic Opportunity Zone. And, you know, if there's one of those, you could talk about that. I think talk about something, you know, you've got a better than average local economy going on. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're like,
Shut down. Yeah.
Yeah. you're like Nashville. Nashville's, you know, hopping no matter what happens. They're building buildings and things are growing, and you still, you know, you got the emerging markets recovering. So you have a unique knowledge and what they're interested in, and they'd be interested in, you know, the outlook for emerging markets, South America in particular, and how that will affect their economy. You know, are people building inventories or not? And, you know, what does it look like for the local community? I think that would be, so you could be kind of the local economist for the market. I think that would be what I would focus more on.
Got it.
And blend that in with the overall outlook that Mike Wilson gives you, but see if you can get, you know, some information about actual facts and figures about what's happening locally.
Got it. One of the things with the chamber, and I want to get advice on how to approach this. I mean, we have a higher than normal threshold and a minimum, let's say, to come aboard and do business with us. At the same time, everybody kind of knows that, but I don't want to appear like too highfalutin.
Okay, no, that's an error. Don't think about that. You want to appear highfalutin.
Okay.
Okay. That's a term that we use to denigrate success.
Okay. Okay.
The higher your minimum, the more successful people think you are.
Now, in speaking with a chamber, would I be correct in saying, look, we have certain minimums in terms of portfolio management, but if you need help, don't be afraid to call us and we will steer you in the right direction.
Sure. I don't think you want to appear needy or eager.
Got it.
You do not want to. You want to be the place that they wish they, you know, Bernie Madoff was a taker and a criminal. But he was a genius when it came to marketing.
Yep.
You can only open an account from your attorney to his attorney.
Yep.
You had to get an appointment and it was hard to get.
Right.
That's kind of where you want to be. Like we really have a closed practice at this point. But for chamber members, I'd be happy to talk to them.
Okay. along those lines, we're building one by one by one, a pretty formidable prospect and center of influence email list. In other words, you know, we blast out an economic report every Monday and what Morgan Stanley calls the 1% move, which is every time the market moves over 1% up or down, you get an email. That's if you're my client, if you're
that's
our client,
cool.
That's what you get. Okay. And that's automatic. Now, and what's not automatic is on Anna's list. So she makes it automatic because it's Anna. Anna's the automatic part, right? So now what we are also doing is doing the same thing for prospects. So if you're a prospect of mine, you're on that email list, or if you're some type of bona fide center of influence, because I've divided those people in half, by the way, you have a contact. He's a potential center of influence. And you have a real center of influence, and that's the guy I'm working, okay, per your method, okay? So yes. Now, how much should I expand that email list? Should I expand it to others? Should I have others there? Let's say you have a chamber member that has $150,000. I'm not going to do business with him. I steer him the right way, okay? But he says, hey, can I get your email?
Sure. You know, it doesn't cost you anything. It's like building your, you know, your followers.
Okay.
On Instagram, you know, you can,
yep.
It's prestigious to have 10,000 followers. So,
okay. So Anna, you're going to have 10,000 emails to distribute. All right. So, yeah, because you just basically just plug them into the thing and it just takes off. All right. So that I will welcome if they'd like to get market update, the 1% move, et cetera. Give us your email. and we can send that out to you. And that's okay.
Yeah, that's good. That's look, we're going to make, you know, we're basically, we're going to make Morgan Stanley available to anybody that would value the information. And I would use your brand for that. Because your brand is flying pretty high now with Mike Wilson. I mean, nobody's caught it quite the way he did. I mean, he was Mike Lee? Not Mike Lee. His last name is Lee.
Are you talking the guy from Funstrat?
The guy that he's also got it. You know, he's hit it right on the dot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I follow him on Twitter. Is it
Mike Lee?
No, I don't remember his name, but it is Lee. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, he's hit it. Those two guys have hit it, and they'll be on CNBC, and everybody else will be. The world's coming to an end, and they're like, no, just keep buying. You're going to be fine. And so people have made. Just think about it. They've made a lot of money, okay, because of those guys. And the guys that are in cash have lost a lot of money. And the guys that have been bearish have lost a lot of money. So you got one third over here that has made the money and two thirds that have lost the money. They were bears or they were in cash. And so that's the way your chamber is going to look. And so there's the fear of missing out that's pretty prevalent right now. And the fear and the just being upset that they had bad psychology going into this, you know, and bad information.
We have a couple of those. Yeah.
So you're going to be, they're going to really pay attention, at least I would, to what you have to say on a regular basis. And when those guys get bearish or they get a little nervous, I'm going to pay attention and I'm actually going to listen this time. Okay.
All right.
So I think you've got some credibility among investors that are pay attention.
Okay. So just a few advancements since last time. Okay. We're taking financial planning seriously. We have a whole thing going on financial planning. And everybody I talk to, they get hit with two things. So for example, we have a lunch today. Good client. But he isn't on the monthly call. He will be. So we'll talk about that. He wants to do a review of his account. George is going to be there. George is going to meet him for the first time. Then also we're going to talk about financial planning, and that's kind of the routine with every single client. So I meet with a client, we're going to talk about financial planning. I'll try to get him in the pipeline for that. Some of the people are a little bit tough, a little bit averse, but that's okay. We'll keep hitting that. At the very least, if they're a little bit tough in financial planning, what I try to do, and this was really brought upon by one guy that I thought I knew him financially and I didn't, I do a little balance sheet right there at the table. I do a little balance sheet. I get to know his cash flow right there. I take notes and I input that in the system and get to know my client more, at the very least.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's worked out well. Also, in the next 2 to 3 weeks, let's say, our website, at least 1.0, website 1.0 will be done. Okay. And then we'll go to 2.0, which will include videos, an upgraded team photo. We have a photographer in the wings ready to take our team photos.
Great.
My LinkedIn should be done in the next week or two. Believe it or not, never use LinkedIn. Never been on LinkedIn, but it will be. And it's actually going to look pretty slick, you know. So I'll have the LinkedIn done. That's going to lead us to do the Facebook for Business. Still don't know how big that'll be, but we're allowed to have it, so we will have it. And Morgan, you're allowed to do a little blog that they do. And that's the only thing you're allowed to put on your website, LinkedIn, Facebook for Business, or Twitter for Business. You're allowed to do their standard little blog. So, okay. All right. So we'll get on that. And that all, you know, Anna's spearheading that, and that should be done over the next 4 weeks. The other thing I wanted to ask you, when you deal with your reps, do they have, like, for their notes on a client, do they strictly use the folders, or do they keep some notes in a folder next to them or something?
No. Use your folder.
Okay.
Use your folder, but then you should enter it into the computer so that your team can see it, and it should be, you have a system that where you can communicate with each other, and so you don't have to then send out the executive summary. So you should write up the executive summary on the computer right after you finish the call, and right. Anna or someone on your team should send that out to the client. Now you can take a look at it if you want before it's sent out, you know, sent to you right. and sent to them. That's probably what I would do just to double check. But no, you should only have one place to take notes, and that's in the folder. Right. Otherwise, you're going to have
too many notes.
Paper flying all over the, and you know, that.
Yeah, I got
you. I'm having two calendars. You have one calendar only. My wife has like three calendars. Okay. And it drives me insane. But I I can't change her. So I live with it, but it's like, Marcia, we're doing this afternoon. Oh, I didn't have that down on my calendar. I said, it's on my calendar. It's on this one. It's on your computer. Oh, I don't look at that.
He's going to listen to you.
So, you know, there's certain places you don't go.
Right.
That's why.
She'll make breakfast or something if I go there. So I appreciate everything she does, and just know that, but two calendars sticking pins in my eyes.
Okay. I understand that story. I understand that story more than anything you said, Rob. So we're getting better at that piece, by the way, because one of the things that you were amazed at, we don't have a linked calendar. Now we do. So we have, there's a calendar. Everybody knows my schedule. It's on my calendar. It's all linked.
And all the appointments are set. And that's what I had down for the homework. Set 12-4-2s with top 20% of the book.
Yep.
Financial plans for the top 20%.
Yep.
Okay. So let me make a couple of comments on what you said so far. And we're running out of time. So two reasons to stick around, okay, rather than going independent is, one, when they leave, you, because you're a loyal guy, you inherit their accounts, right? That's one thing. Yep. Two is when they retire and you've – now let me tell you something. This is really as important as anything I can tell you ever. One of the things you want to demonstrate – is that you're a team player. That's one. That's why you get the accounts from people that leaving. Two, you want to appear incredibly organized and systematized and appear as though you have plenty of time and you're really organized. Why? Because when Rob Knapp decides that he's going to retire, he's looking around the office for a partner that is going to take really good care of his clients and is going to give them 12-4-2 and follow up and do the executive summary and do the agenda. And he's going to go, I want this team, right? I want your team. So I want Al. That's what I want. And that's worth money to you, a lot of money over time. Because you got to prospect a lot to pick up $300 million of assets.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. And you can do it just by being a clean, loyal, smart team.
Yep.
I'm doing that. I'm coaching most of the teams in Pennsylvania because your former boss went up there and is running Central Pennsylvania. And so he's putting like six teams through Supernova, just like we did here in Coral Gables. And those teams have got a lot of senior guys in the office. And those teams are just thanking me like crazy because they're the ones being picked out now as the places where these senior stockbrokers are wanting to hand their practices over to. Because they may not want to do Supernova or all financial planning, but they want to hand their business to somebody that's doing it. They admire it because they're structured and organized and they know the clients are going to get called. So it's a really big deal for your growth. Internal marketing, okay? The final thing is the VEA. Virtual Engagement Associate. So George, Anna, these guys are Morgan Stanley employees. There's 60 of them now. I think they're maybe 56. Carlos Noriega is the guy that runs it. And they're terrific. And you pay them money, but it's like $3,000 for a year. And they do everything for you. So all this work you're doing, you will do it with them, but they'll make your life so much easier because they do it all the time. And they will actually post for you. So Al, you're always looking for leverage, right?
Yep.
This is genius leverage.
All right, that's a good lead. Thank you, Rob.
And the guys in Pennsylvania are raving fans.
Okay.
I wouldn't tell you this unless they were raving fans. They are. Yeah. And the nice thing is, because you pay them, they don't go away. You know, we get a cutback. They're not the first people to be cut because they're overhead. They are self-sufficient in terms of the money they raise from you guys. So they're teaching them and training them. And there used to be six of them. Now there's 56. So get on it. It's worth it. I'd refer you to if you didn't work for Morgan Stanley, I'd refer you to a guy that would charge you $12,000 a year.
Okay.
Okay. Doing the same thing.
Question for the team. Have you guys heard of this guy and that team? George and Anna, have you heard?
No, I have not, no.
All right. That's a good lead. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, it really is. And Carlos, I had a call with him and Jim Pritchard, who's a sales manager up there in Pennsylvania. And Carlos was delightful. He's a lovely guy and hardworking and obviously Hispanic. So, you know, he'll understand the international part of it. I don't know. Maybe he won't.
Okay. Okay.
But I think he's, he's an interesting character. So, yeah. And do it now because I think they're going to, it's like you, being referred in, right? You want the members to be referring you in. And you say, I'm sorry, I'm full.
Yeah.
I know they're hot. It's a hot item. So you want to grab it. So, yeah.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Yeah, because you're cutting a lot of ground yourself. You know, that's crazy. So,
okay.
You know, it's great, but you don't need to reinvent the wheel here.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. So good. Congratulations. It's really, Al, I've told you this many times. If you can just keep yourself focused, you can have $1 billion. $1 billion.
Thank you, Rob.
I mean it. Just keep the blinders on them, guys. Don't let them.
Like the horses.
Keep the blinders on. Keep working focused because you're really, really good at this.
Thank you, Rob.
I don't say that to everybody. Trust me. I've said it to you before, and you know that, right?
Yep. Yes, you have.
When you start to feel yourself being sucked into some vortex.
Yep.
This is it. This is the big one. You don't need anything else. $1 billion. Do the math. Okay.
Yep.
That's a lot of money. 10 million.
Yep.
Okay. And you're okay. You're in a spot where you've got it. You've got $1 billion there looking for a home.
Yep.
So, all right.
Thank you, Rob.
See you guys.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Rob. Have a good one.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.